FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
FC United are delighted to announce that FC will be hosting a five-day beer festival this weekend at Broadhurst Park as part of the club's European Friendly Weekend against SV Austria Salzburg. The five-day beer festival is open to all, so if you like your beer, football, or both, this is not to be missed. We have already received confirmation that over 250 Austrians, plus fans from other fan-owned clubs across Europe, will be making the trip over, so it'll definitely have a Euro away feel to it. There will be over 20 ales and ciders available, with the club teaming up with a number of local breweries, including Joseph Oltz, Bootleg Brewing Company, 3B Blackburn, Fuzzy Duck, Green Mill, Great Orme, Kirby Lonsdale and Banktop. So, whether you fancy a flat cap, fool's gold or a pheasant plucker, there's something for all tastes. The 5 days also sees four football matches taking place at Broadhurst Park. Kicking off at 2 p.m. this Saturday on the 3G pitch, FC United Reserves take on Hyde United Reserves. At 5 p.m. on Saturday, it's FC United versus Austria Salzburg on the main pitch. On Sunday at 2 p.m, it's FC United's women's team versus the Egerton ladies. And finally, on Tuesday 7th of February, FC United host West Didsbury and Chorlton in the semi-final of the Manchester Premier Cup, with the tie kicking off at 7:45 p.m. Don't miss that one. In addition to the football, we're delighted to welcome back the club's pre-match club night, Corsican Malcolm, for a second week running this coming Saturday. So, that's the five-day beer festival at Broadhurst Park, starting this Friday at 7 p.m. Please drink responsibly and enjoy the weekend.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Crosses a goal! Oh, it's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in. Oh, Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's match with Salford City from Saturday afternoon.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly, we'll be hearing all about FC United v Salford City from Saturday afternoon. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news by advising supporters that FC United's away game versus Stockport County at Edgeley Park in February will be an all-ticket match, and tickets are now on sale to FC members and season ticket holders. FC United supporters have been allocated 1,350 tickets. To purchase your ticket, please visit www.fc-utd-tickets.co.uk/event. In other news, the women's team gained three vital points on Sunday afternoon, dispatching a tough Stockport County side by 6-1, with a hat-trick from new signing Jess Battle. Here's Neil Boothman with more.
OK, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore and midfielder Mia Holden. Another great win, despite the gloomy overcast weather. It turned out to be a good day for us.
Yeah, it was good. Like I say, we got 3 points we needed, 6 goals. You know, unfortunately, again, we conceded two penalties, and Amy did really well to keep both of them out. Obviously, the follow-up on the first one. But we responded well. We scored 6 goals. And the girls' professionalism and conduct was fantastic throughout. So,
yeah, it was difficult to see what they were actually given for. You would have been a bit closer.
Apparently, it was a push, yeah. I mean, I don't know what. I mean, we see in football, don't we? A push, a little nudge. It happens all over the pitch. But refs give them, and we've got on with the game. And, you know, I'm just happy we've come away with 3 points.
Yeah, we fought back well, because obviously it was a very early penalty given against us. And we get the goal back, and then another penalty is given against us. Another terrific save by Amy. This time it wasn't rebounded in, thankfully. And we went on to press them home. Do you think you're your tactics are working? Because it's a funny shaped pitch, really, to work on that one, isn't it?
Yeah, we worked on it at training. We knew, obviously, what pitch we were going to be playing on. We knew it was tight. We knew it was going to be quite boggy. So we just tried to prepare the players as best we can at training. And, you know, they showed that they can deal with it and deal with situations and adapt. And that's what we need to be. We need to be a more adaptable team. You know, we don't know what we're going to get when we turn up to pitches. So, you know, they proved to me that they can do it.
Yeah, it looked a bit heavy. Was it a bit tricky underfoot there, Mia?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, when you're trying to hold the ball up as well, the pitch is really heavy on your legs. Like, everyone will be aching after today.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to be tired legs after today. So we did well, and hat-trick for Jess Battle as well.
Yeah, really delighted for Jess. You know, I know how good Jess has been, and obviously she's been at the club, and for her to get a hat-trick today when we needed it the most as well. You know, she's come up trumps again, so, you know, she's firing all cylinders, and some of the other players again now are chipping in with goals. Beth Tatt's got a form, he's outstanding at the moment. So, you know, we're coming into form at the right time, and hopefully we can take that into the next, you know, two cup games we've got, and obviously the league as well, and keep the pressure on up at the top.
Luke Podmore and Mia Holden there, speaking with our very own Neil Boo. And the women's team returned to action this coming Sunday at Broadhurst Park as FC United host Egerton. It's a 2 p.m. kickoff in North Manchester. It'll be on FCUM Radio, of course, but with a beer festival on at the ground on the day, no reason not to attend in person. And finally, Corsican Malcolm hosted the 11:22 from Manchester on Saturday afternoon, a panel discussion featuring some well-known faces discussing the way forward for the club. Here are some of the highlights.
We know what new football and new football fans are. We know what Sky's done to football. That's not what this is about. And you need to make sure you preserve that vision that it started with and the intent. This is a political club. Whether people like it or not, it was formed out of a political situation. It is a political club. That doesn't mean you don't make compromises from time to time, because that's what good politics is. Don't let it go away, because we'd all miss you terribly. We really would. And the fact that you've got it fan-owned, as it is, and nobody's hopefully making decisions without the best interests of the club at heart, then all it can do is go forward, and it needs to. So carry on doing what you're doing, keep doing what you're doing for as long as you can, and don't let anybody take it off you. Thank you.
The battle really is somewhere that we need to move forward as a football club. We need to make sure that we're all together as one. We're still going to argue, we're still going to have, you know, disagreements and fallout, but it's how we go forward and how we deal with them. And as I say earlier on, it's about openness and accountability. And if we're truthful to the membership, if we're not scared of telling people hard truths and hard facts, which I think Luke's already mentioned earlier on, we've had to do that this season with the financial side of things. If we'd done that 2 years ago, we wouldn't be where we are now. We would have all come together. And it is hard. Once you make a mistake, I understand it's hard. But the facts are that we need to come together. We need to work together. Let's be open. Let people know about what's going on. And let's move forward as a group together. And let's have a great, great afternoon here. Because obviously we've got a game of football. And that is what it's about. FC United of Manchester. As you said, it's, you know, the clue's in the name. We're a football club first and foremost. We've got great community spirit. We've got great people at the football club. Let's beat Seoul for today. And let's move forward and have a good afternoon. And let's keep the red flag flying high.
Some highlights there from the 11:22 from Manchester from Saturday morning, and there will be a special podcast available on Monday afternoon featuring the full discussion from Saturday's Corsican Malcolm. And speaking of Corsican Malcolm, later in the show we'll be hearing from two of last weekend's lineup, as we hear from local band Cabbage and grassroots refugee charity The Hummingbird Project. But before that, it's now time to turn our attentions to the first team, and on Saturday afternoon FC United hosted promotion chasing Salford City at Broadhurst Park. And to find out how the Reds got on in this one, it's over to the FC Live team now to find out more.
Well, the opening 6 or 7 minutes were all FC United without really troubling the goalkeeper. And since then, well, Salford City have had several opportunities and two good saves from the goalkeeper and a miss at point-blank range, really putting the ball wide. But the team still 0-0. As FC United now have to deal with the ball, it's right-hand side again, it's with Green. Green against Chandler. Can he get to the ball? It cuts inside. Two players around him. Three players around him. He's still going to try to get the shot away. Plays a lovely ball to the number 11. First time shot comes in. It'll be a goal. And a well-worked goal. And no one really marking James Poole there. He was giving a little bit too much room. But it all started with George Green. He cut in from this near touchline. Had three players around him. Held the ball. Played a nice reverse pass to James Poole. And Poole just went one way and then drilled it. And nothing FC United could do about that. The goalkeeping. But you want to be closed down a little bit better than that, don't you?
Absolutely. To be there. Basso was unsighted. But corner ball right hand side.
The first corner of the afternoon for FC United and Manchester behind the SMRE. Come on, can we get something out of it? I mean, FC United nearly undid themselves with a bit of poor defensive work from Fang Bowler, but FC United now the other end with this corner ball.
George Thompson. A nice delivery, but that will be a free kick. The referee caught it. The goalkeeper caught it. Lynch dropped the ball under pressure from the centre forward, from Gilchrist. But really, as we all know, you only have to breathe around a goalkeeper in the box, and it's going to be a free kick. Rain seems to have abated for the moment, and it's Allen heads it forward, and it's a 50-50 with Basso, and he gets caught there. Referee says no foul. Basso. Wants the trainer, does he? Or no, he did. I think he's playing the old soldier there, hoping to stop the play. But Wright has it.
Sorry, that's just embarrassing. But we've got from the other end now, and it's Thompson on the ball.
Thompson, oh, he's tries to thread it in. He's still got the ball. He's got
back
two
post, back post.
And what? And it goes Wolverton. Good save by Lynch. Winter will pick up the second ball. Pressure from FC. But he's too careless there. His Winter gets away. Oh, dear. Plays a back heel there, which is mopped up. And Winter just wasn't at the races there. And now it's a break for Salford. It's end-to-end. And Jordan Hume takes it in nicely past Baird. Strikes the shot. And it strikes the rear of Dale Tong. And it's a corner for Salford.
Well, that's the first time of the game, really, that Sam Baird wasn't quite sure what he needed to do there. He tried to stay with his man. The ball was played in and the shot came in. And it came off Tong. It could have gone anywhere. But I've got to say, yeah, I mean, I know Basso is complaining, but to stay down like that and then get up like, I mean, we saw it last week with a couple of players for Harrogate, and we laughed at that, you know, the kidology there in Basso. But he still said to the referee, I've got some stud marks on my leg. It's a game of football. You're going to get kicked at some stage.
Cross comes in from Green. Oh, it's a good delivery. Oh, and yes, it's in. It's Michael Nottingham rises like a phoenix. Unchallenged, gets away from his head. Basso got a hand to it, but not strong enough, and the ball found its way over the line and Salford City into a two-goal lead.
That's Nottingham's seventh goal of the season from a right-back position, but the thing is that Basso actually saved that. As he saved it, it came down, it hit him on the back and it's gone back off him. And he looked, for all intents and purposes, it was a great save. Basso will be saying, look, the injury, if you'd given me the free kick first and foremost a minute and a half ago, that wouldn't have happened. But yep. it was a good, as you say, good, strong header down. I thought Basso did tremendously well, and I thought he might have saved it, but it came back off him and into the back of the net, and a lot of work for FC to do. Corner ball, it's going to be Richie Allen to take it. We're into the first minute of the additional five. Ball chipped in, near post, too easy goal. Josh Iron to make it three.
No, it was actually Jordan Hume.
Sorry, Jordan Hume, I meant, yeah.
JH, so you got the right initials.
Thanks for that, sir. Being at the near post, and the chance of easy. Well, I think that says everything you need to know, really, doesn't it?
And that's how the match finished. FC United 0, Salford City 3. Here are the FC Live team with their closing thoughts from Saturday afternoon.
That is the end of the game, and it's Salford City who take all 3 points with 3 goals. One goal in the first half and 2 in the second half, and FC United and Manchester, well, I don't think Carl or Daz or the management team in general are going to be necessarily particularly happy with that performance. I don't think we were at the game for most of it, James.
FC started well. I think this was a very professional performance from Salford City. FC started on the front foot for a little while, then Salford weathered that storm, then they had chances of their own, then they scored. And FC just was a patchy performance. They had a period. And they were 2-0 down towards the end where FC were in the ascendancy. There was a few melees in the goal mouth. Jerome Wright missed a real chance. Tom Greaves might have done better. You need to take a chance. You're playing as a quality team. If you get a chance to get back in it, you've got to put the ball in the back of the net. So he couldn't do that. And then a fairly straightforward goal conceded at the end. And I think it's a fair result. And Salford really are looking a team on the march.
One of the things we've picked up upon, it was always going to be difficult against Salford. Salford have got a lot to play for at the moment. They're gunning for promotion, so they're always going to be up for it today. 4,000 people have watched this. You know, do you want to know a stat? A very troubling stat.
Okay.
FC United haven't won here at Broadhurst Park since November the 19th.
Gosh, that is a that's some stat.
Thank you to Statle Paul for that one. We weren't, you know, it was always going to be a big ask to beat Salford today. But
I don't understand. I don't understand where you're coming from. A big ask. They got beat 4-2 last week, 2-0 up, and got beat four goals to two against Halifax. We played a team last week in Harrogate. It was a good game of football. We've got to kick on from there. We finished the game in the ascendancy. We looked the better of the two teams in the latter parts of the second half, and we come out today and set our stall out, and we take it to them straight away, working hard, working with pace, working with quality. Now, we did it for about 8 minutes, and that all down the right-hand side of the ground. And after that, that was it. Salford assessed what we were capable of doing, gave us a little bit of room, and then started playing their own game, and started playing simple football and better football, never gave the ball away, always, when they had it, made sure they made use of it. So I don't believe, regardless of where we are in the division, that a team can come here and roll us over.
No, my
without,
point,
without the passion and the quality.
The point I was making was that, precisely that, the passion and quality. Going for it, just going gung-ho. It doesn't matter if we get beat 3-0, as long as that crowd there in that terrace has been thoroughly entertained. That's my point. There was a vibe about today's performance which was very similar to Moor Lane early in the season, which was just meh.
Yeah? Yeah, I think this was a
better... Was that meh for
I think it was a stronger performance today. I think it was a better game of football from both sides. I just think Salford, they've got built in, not only they've got ability, but they really want it, and they throw their bodies in the line there. They were pressing at the end, they were pressing as if they were... It was a one, the scoreline was 1-1, not 3-0 to themselves.
We were so deep at times, it just allowed the pressure to come on. We allowed them as a football team to play their own game here at Broadhurst Park. The 19th of November, mate, for me, that's damning and very telling, because we've talked about this place being a fortress, but it seems teams are thriving coming here and enjoying coming here. The pitch is tremendous. It's an expansive football pitch where you can play good quality football. And, you know, we saw from last week, the diagonal ball that got across the player was working well. We started off in the first 10 minutes doing that, and those balls, we had a number of passages of play that we did particularly well in, but there was no final result, unfortunately, at the end of it. But we've got to do that for 90 minutes. You can't allow simple, rudimentary mistakes, easy goals to take place at home, or even away for that matter, but at the same time, we've got to improve upon today.
You've talked about this diagonal ball now since Alti, I think.
I've been talking about all my football in life. It's a good ball.
I heard an interview with the Grantham Town assistant manager, who was talking precisely this, and this is the division below, saying that if you go down the middle, a straight ball, defenders will defend that all day long. We've got to get more diagonal balls. That's from the assistant manager of a team, Grantham Town.
See, the thing is on here, forget Salford City, forget FC United. It's 11 versus 11 on the pitch. They're quite well matched. They know each other quite well. Players that have been around are playing for Salford. Players that have been around are playing for FC United. There's no reason why we can't match them out there for effort, for pressing, for work rates. And we haven't been at the races with them in that respect today. I'm not saying the players haven't given 100%, because they certainly have. But they've not. The game plan for today, for me, has just not worked. We can question perhaps the... the starting lineup, which I would question, in fairness.
Well, we questioned it at half time. We started up all. My point was the team we had last week was dynamic. The build up play was interesting. It wasn't just ploddy. It was varied, and there was all kinds of attacks going on. The full backs were involved in attacks. There was movement in the middle, movement up front. It was great. We changed it a bit too much, I feel, today. Oh, my old French teacher. Hello,
indeed,
Mr. McCauley.
Mr. McCauley. Bonjour, monsieur. Bonjour. Ça va bien, merci. He wasn't even my teacher, but it's nice to speak a bit of French, isn't it? I thought we were flat. I thought some of the players just didn't... They weren't up to their usual standards. And I think there'll be a number of players not happy with their own performance this afternoon. I'm going to question again, and everyone say, Swampy, you're doing it again. The dynamic of the game changed when Wolverton came off. I mean, I'm not saying he was one of the better players in the game, but those diagonal balls that were working, Wolverton gives the outlet. I mean, I would have kept him on. I mean, Gilchrist has been on the pitch now 6 games in a row, and he scored one. I think, is that about right? That's what Paul would have, if he's still here, would have told me. He's not been substituted at any stage, and he's just been left to play. I would have kept Wolfie on there, kept Gilchrist on there, sacrificed a midfield player straight away, and then gone for it at 2-0. Because, you know, the stats are proving here, we don't win.
Well, my question at half-time was about Winter, actually, because Winter was a bit sluggish. He's missed the last two games.
I think he was slightly off the pace.
And it's taken him that game to get back to full fitness.
And my question was it worth dropping Sheridan for that?
No, it's not the game to do it. It wasn't the game to do it, as far as I'm concerned, simply because Harry Winter is a good quality player.
He's been the best player on the pitch all season.
I'd have him in week in, week out, but I wouldn't have started him today. You finish a game really well last week, and everyone playing on that pitch contributed hugely.
And they've justified starting the following week, haven't they?
Why change it the following week? Why change it? I wouldn't have changed it. I wouldn't have started today. Fagbola didn't do anything wrong, but I wouldn't have started him today. I would have started the same, pretty much the same 11. Jake Williams playing out, put Tong in with Sam Baird. There was no great deal of problems for those two last week.
I disagree with that, Swami. I don't think that Dale Tong looked too sure-footed as a centre-back. I can understand why he made that. But the question of whether you have Tong or Williams, I think, is probably the more interesting question. But no, I could understand why he would bring a centre-back in. Are the other two fit? Are they available?
I think they are fit, and I think what we'll see, if I was a betting man, although it's a friendly next week, isn't it? We haven't got a game in between.
No.
Okay, well, I'll say the next game, FC United, it's at
Chorley.
That's the 11th, isn't it? 11th of February.
It's a week on Saturday.
A week on Saturday that Matty Wolfenden will not start that game.
There is, of course, the West Isbury match in the meantime.
He might start that one.
Is that a week on Tuesday?
A week on Tuesday, yes. It is indeed. I mean, look, the game's about opinions, isn't it? And Carl will be downstairs talking to all his players, telling him, you know, what they've done well, what they can improve upon. And, you know, we're here to make our observations. And you know, I think Carl will not be happy overall with that performance. For me, it lacked so much. What it lacked more than anything was creativity from FC. There wasn't a great deal of creativity at all in the pitch. We were a little bit one-dimensional. We were a little bit too obvious what we were going to do. They mopped things up very, very comfortably. They nullified Jerome Wright on a number of occasions. But then when Jerome, on this near touchline in the first half, started getting the ball, it caused problems.
My inclination, though, Swampy, is that I would give Salford a bit more credit than perhaps you're doing.
The game management they had today was...
Sometimes you can only play as well as you're allowed to play, and I agree with you that FC were not at their best today. There was a period in the second half where they looked very flat and were just allowing the game to drift. But I do think that Salford deserve a lot of credit.
I agree with you. They set their stall out in a way that they're going to make it difficult for FC United and Manchester, and they're a quality team. As I say, we've given man of the match to one of their players who went off after 70 minutes.
Take that for him.
You know, because he was good. I mean, I thought Michael Nottingham was outstanding. I thought Billy Priestley, centre half, you know, he made two tremendous, one in the first half, and when it didn't even matter at the end, he still threw his body in there. So there were some very good performances. I mean, I'll be honest with you, if James Pooler stayed on the pitch, I don't know what it would have been like, because he was absolute quality as well. So yeah, there was a very good performance from Salford. But our job is not to critique Salford. Our job is to critique our own team, because Salford will move on, and we've got to think about our next game being at home against Chorley again, another team who are doing tremendously well.
Now, we've got a couple of housekeeping announcements before we draw a line under this week's FC Live. Don't forget, next weekend, Austria Salzburg here at Broadhurst Park. Get down here, 5 o'clock kickoff. But there's a beer festival. The beer festival starts on Friday in the evening here at Broadhurst Park in the main stand bar, so get down to that. Then on the Saturday, there's a Kushka Malcolm. There's another fan on Club Hyde taking on FC United Reserves on the 3G pitch. So head down here early, 2 o'clock kickoff. Then there's Austria Salzburg against FC United here. And then the women's team on Sunday, 2 o'clock kickoff. And FC Radio will be there for the whole weekend.
Am I allowed to mention one FA Cup result? Because to do with about a non-league side, or is it?
Wolves aren't a non-league side.
No.
Go on then.
No, Lincoln City, who are the top team in the non-league, have beaten Bright 3-1 at Brighton.
Wickham beating Tottenham.
They were, but it ended. Turn your dial down if you don't want to hear this. It ended 4-3 to Tottenham. They scored in the 97th minute winner, having equalised in the 89th.
Lincoln City won
3-1 against Brighton, who are, of course, I think, second.
The good news about today, though, isn't necessarily what's happened on the pitch. It was what happened before the match here. There was a beautiful Corsican Malcolm, the 11:22. That will be available as a podcast.
Wow, yeah.
Was that today? That was today, a long time ago. Cabbage performed, and for those who've seen it on Twitter, the place was bouncing, absolutely bouncing. We've got an interview with Cabbage as well. Great lads, too. And not just Cabbage.
Strangely beautiful boys.
Not just Cabbage, but we also, me and Swampy, spoke with the Hummingbird Project before kickoff. That'll be on a podcast.
That was
a hard interview, but in a positive way.
It was difficult
to do, but they're doing cracking things. And that's the most important thing, really. Is it about a result on the pitch, or is it about the whole thing that is FC United, the beautiful thing that is FC United? Today, FC United has been very, very beautiful.
It has been, and love is the word of the day. But, I mean, where else can you go and watch a top-quality band, drink some decent beer, have some good scran, watch a game of football, listen to some great poetry, listen to somebody who's heartfelt working in a community doing stuff, having to listen to us then commentate on a game of football for £9?
Yeah.
For £9? Hey, listen, you're all spoilt. You're all spoilt, you really are. I mean, you know, but today has been, 4,158 people here. Absolutely superb.
A big thank you to Mr. James Quinn.
Thank you.
A big thank you to Mr. Swamper. Thank you very much. Shadow Paul and Stephen Wood as well earlier. And thank you to you, dear listener, for tuning in. fcmradio.co.uk/donate for all your donation needs. This has been FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiCody.com and the Armchair Armour. It's finished. FC United and Manchester nil, Salford City 3, but not really important. I can live with it. Based on what happened earlier.
Well, you're from Salford, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Anyway, it's all slipping.
They'll be there next season in the conference doing their radio for them.
But from everyone here at Broadhurst Park, big love, and we'll see you next week for that massive weekend here at Broadhurst Park.
Peace.
Goodbye.
After the match, James caught up with FC United manager Carl Margeson.
Carl, thanks so much for joining us, and so quickly. Tough game. What was the difference between these two sides, would you say, apart from the three goals?
Tough one. It was a strange game when we played them at their place, and it had that same feel to it. Normally, derby games is a bit of blood and thunder, and I just thought it was a bit wishy-washy, to be honest. They scored a good goal. The first goal, I thought, they did work really well and scored a good goal, and then obviously we're really disappointed with our defending for the other two goals. You know, it looks 3-0 probably looks like a bit of a drubbing, and I don't think that really does us justice in respect of the scoreline. You know, we did create, and their keepers had a couple of good saves and whatnot, but you know, credit to Salford. I thought they came and did a professional job, and you know, that's the personnel that they've got there. You know, they've been able to recruit well because they've got the money to be able to do it.
FC started very strongly. Was there a sense that when then Salford gained control and scored that FC were overly thrown by that and therefore we just got a bit flat?
Yeah, I think it really did feel like that. Like you just mentioned, it felt flat the whole game, even though there's a fantastic crowd on, and you know they were doing their best to raise everything. But a real good description of the game today. I thought it was quite flat.
We found it as an engaging game, to much more lively than the game at Moor Lane. A period at the end, just before they scored the final goal, where you were really in the ascendancy. Jerome Wright had a gilt-edged chance. The ball was ping-ponging around. Did you feel the changes you made affected the game?
Yeah, and I thought, you know, we had to be positive, and you're trying to get as many goals on the pitch as you can. Obviously, Tom Greaves brings that. Kieran Glynn just changed, and Sam Sheridan changed the dynamic of the midfield. You know, we've got somebody there who can run with the ball, and obviously Sam's passing range is excellent. So, yeah, they were the reasons for the changes to try and get back in the game. But like I say, you can't give the two goals that we give away in the second half. You can't give them to any team, really. Not one that's up there challenging in the playoff places.
Yeah, we were a little surprised that Matt Wolford gave away. We thought he was a good outlet on the right hand side. What was your thinking? What was your thinking there?
To get just to change it up. You know, there was no Wolfie's put a right shift in again, as he did last week. You know, he's probably a little unfortunate, but we've got different players with different dynamics, and that was the reason for just changing it up. You know, getting Greavesy on there and trying to and Kieran Glynn, somebody who can run with the ball in the central areas.
Just before, there was another flat period through the second half. Is it tough for you to really get a rocket up the backside of the players at the moment because of the position you're in? Basically, 11 points clear of relegation, detached from the playoffs. Is it, where Salford obviously come here now on form, won 6 out of 7 now, going for the playoffs. Is hunger a factor, do you think?
No. You've got 4,000 people watching you play football, so hunger can't be a factor. That's definitely not the case. You know, I thought we competed with them really well, to be honest. That hunger factor wasn't... It never really crosses our mind because of what FC is all about, really.
And what about Ashworth and Kay? Are they available? Say whether you're going to pick them, but are they available
They'll both be available now after the Salzburg game.
So. And that's an interesting conundrum for you with Sam Baird showing so much quality.
I thought Jordan did well today as well, going and tacking the ball. And it's a nice headache to have.
Okay. Well, tough luck. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, James.
We'll see you next time. Thank you, Carl.
FC United manager Carl Margeson there on Saturday afternoon following FC's 3-0 defeat at the hands of Salford City. To find out now where that defeat leaves FC United in the league table and for all the other results from the National League North on Saturday, it's now time to hand over to Marv Willers for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers, and a good day to you all, dear listener. I'm Marv, and welcome to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. And that defeat for FC United sees the Reds drop a position to 12th, staying 11 points clear of the relegation zone, though, while Salford, on the other hand, go up to 3rd with that win for them. Elsewhere, and it was top versus bottom on Saturday, as Fylde hosted Alti, with the leaders winning by 4-1. Dave Chancellor's side still led the table by a healthy 9 points, with Kidderminster Harriers remaining second after a comprehensive 4-0 Agbro win over rivals Nuneaton Town. There was a shock for 5th place Darlington, who suffered a 3-1 home defeat by a Curzon Ashton side, who also beat leaders AFC Fylde last weekend as well. Tamworth moved level on points with Darlington after beating Boston United 1-0 at the Lamb. Halifax Town are a place and a point further back after being held to a goalless draw by 8th place Stockport County at the Shea. Harrogate Town, their unbeaten start to 2017, came to an abrupt end as Gainsborough Trinity ran out 3-1 winners. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, Gloucester City have leapt over FC into 11th after increasing Worcester City's relegation worries with a 3-0 win at Wadden Road. And that concludes this week's edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Go in peace to love and serve your football club. Cheerio.
Thanks, Marv. The Reds return to Broadhurst Park this weekend with a mammoth international friendly spectacular as FC United host SV Austria Salzburg this coming Saturday. Kickoff will be at 5 p.m, but with a beer festival taking place over the entire weekend, make sure you turn up early. But as always, if you cannot make this game, then have no fear. The FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on Saturday afternoon with a special live programme from 1 p.m. on www.fcumradio.com. You're listening to This Club Is My Club, the radio show dedicated to FC United of Manchester. I'm back now to this past weekend's Corsican Malcolm. Very shortly we'll be hearing from local band Cabbage, but before that, also appearing on stage on Saturday afternoon was Pam from the Hummingbird Project, a grassroots charity based in the High Peak, which collects aid for refugees fleeing war and persecution. Ben and Swampy caught up with Pam to find out more.
So we're now joined by Pam from the Hummingbird Project, based down in Buxton.
That's right,
that's
yeah.
Right. Would you like to give us a little introduction about what the Hummingbird Project is?
Of course, yeah. The Hummingbird is a grassroots organisation started by myself and a woman called Jo Gregory back in 2015, when we decided that we could no longer keep watching the pictures on the television of people drowning and generally being in a really bad way. And we set about trying to do something to help. What we did was we started collecting aid for people to send out and make contacts with people. That was the biggest thing we did, actually make the contacts. And since then, we've gone from strength to strength, really.
What kind of aid are we talking about here?
Well, we've took everything, really. We initially sent a lot of clothes because people were in transit. They were soaking wet, coming off boats with no clothes. We've sent about 45 tonnes of clothing out of our little shop in Buxton. Again, we've sent a lot of medical aid, especially to Syria. The Syrian hospitals are in disarray. The war has rendered them very poorly resourced. We've sent everything from band-aids to incubators for babies. We've fundraised and working with other grassroots, sent stuff out there.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It is grassroots.
It is.
Give us a bit of the history about how it all started. I mean,
it's literally people who just said, we've had enough. We can't wait. We can't wait for people to... The people that have got the power to do something, they're choosing not to do it. So we either sit back and say, well, that's fine, or you say, well, we'll do it anyway.
One of the problems that seems to have happened over the last 2 years as well is that when aid does go across to these countries, including, I know you've been over to France as well and worked to the port areas, the aid, has it been difficult getting it across? Is it difficult to bypass the bureaucracy of being able to get it to the people that need it most?
I think that's the clever trick, to be fair. When Joe and I started, we both decided we would never send anything unless we knew who was getting it at the other end, that they actually needed it. Because what happened initially was a lot of people with great good heart, not us actually, sent tons of stuff that wasn't very useful and actually created quite a problem, especially in northern France where they had all sorts of stuff turning up that wasn't useful. So we spent quite a lot of time doing the groundwork, making the connections, finding out who needs what, how we can get it to them, and working with the bigger charities that are already there, people like Syria Relief, like One Nation, and actually just help us to get things where they need to be.
You're talking over the last 2 years or so since all this...
15 months.
Since all this started in a way. I know the Calais issue's been there a bit longer than that, but it has been in the news a lot over the last 15 months or so. There is two ways of dealing with it in a way, well, three ways. You can ignore it altogether, you could be proactive like you're doing, or you could take what's kind of happened, and that's where everyone's kind of reacted to it in a very weird and unexpected way, in a way, when it comes to the politics of the continent. I mean, why was it that you decided to be proactive rather than take that route of...
There was a single moment that I can see now when there was I was in the living room in the warm, and I was looking at the television, and there was a boy standing outside a tent in Calais. He was 14, and he was on his own. Every instinct in my body was just to go and get him. At that point, I thought there was only one 14-year-old boy on their own. How stupid was I? And I just thought, anything I do is going to be better than nothing. So my husband said I couldn't go and get him, he wouldn't let me, and he was probably right. So I thought, if I can get some coats, keep him warm in the winter, maybe that's a good thing I can do. And what's really, really amazing about the Hummingbirds, about the whole, because there's a network of us all over the country, we work together to get things right. So we can be really responsive, you know. People can say to us, what we really need is this, and we'll go, right. And we've got such a good, through social media, Facebook is driving it, really. People will respond, and the love, and it just makes you feel good in a horrible world.
Now, at the minute, me as a kind of bearded liberal kind of guy, I feel slightly down about a lot of things. Over the last 15 months, have you noticed it go, the enthusiasm waning or increasing?
It's interesting, isn't it?
Make me feel happy.
I will make you feel happy. What we found is that the worse things get globally, the more love comes in. So people are motivated by all sorts of different things. You know, when Joe Cox died, we had a group of poets from Hull contact us and say, we're going to write a book and we're going to sell it for you because we have to replace hate with love. You know, we have a lady who has, again, got very upset by stuff, turned her energies into making creative things which we can sell. We had a man come in the shop. He must have been 100 on sticks, and he had a bag with one pair of socks in it, and he just walked in and he said, it's not much, And I said, to the person that's got no socks, it's the world, so thank you. And if everyone brought us a pair of socks, we really could put socks on everyone's feet. So it's the little things that make the good things.
And that's what the next question, really. I mean, what is it that the Hummingbird Project need?
Right, I think we've changed a lot because things are changing all the time, and we respond very much to what people in the field are telling us. Our new hot off the list for 2017 is that we want everyone to help us to be humble. Humble is our acronym, which helps me remember what we're doing. So hygiene, H for hygiene. We did say, somebody did say it's like Sesame Street. Today we will bring age, yes. H to you. Hygiene, toiletries, nappies, wipes, sanitary items, stuff like that. Underwear. Really, we like new. We don't want anyone's old boxer shorts.
You might get some of them after the game, to be honest.
On, yes.
But we can live with really good bras that have been used. You know, that's fine. Medical items. We'll have everything from a packet of paracetamol to a CT scanner, if you want to give us one of them, that's fine. Blankets would be for humble, sleeping bags, keeping people warm, really important. Love, I'll come back to love in a minute, that's the L. And E, everything for the feet. Most importantly, if you've got good feet, everybody knows, if anyone's ever worn a pair of shoes and don't fit them. When I was in Calais, I was in the jungle, I was talking to this lovely, lovely young man. I was saying to him, you're right, have you got everything you want? He said, I'm fine. I looked at his feet, his shoes were held on by masking tape, and it was raining. But he was fine because that's why he didn't want to take things. It was complete opposite to what the media tell you was going on out there.
So hummingbirdproject.co.uk is the website.
Yeah,
to,
that's
to
the
go
website.
On.
Facebook page, Hummingbird Project, Hypee People Helping Refugees. Really important because there is another hummingbird in Brighton that just does Calais. So ours is Hypee People Helping Refugees.
But before you go, you mentioned something there, so you're going to say right at the end.
Oh, love. Last year we were asked by the doctors in Syria if we could put together bags for children. When the children come into the hospitals in Syria, unless you're really injured, you don't get seen to very quickly because it's frenetic. And they wanted us to put some stuff together. So we created the bags of love, and they were beautiful. And we got the video today of them arriving. But it got us thinking, and we don't want to just do them for children. So we're doing packs for peace, so we will do things for older people, for younger people, for teenagers, for mums, for dads. So that's our love. Knitted items, people make baby clothes for us. Friendship bracelets, we had schools give friendship with a little note saying we love you or we're thinking of you. It's the tiny little things. Teddy aid is massive. You think if you're in a desperate situation, do you really want a teddy bear? Yeah, you do. If you're six and you've got nothing, having a teddy to cuddle is important and immense.
I'm going to ask a question, and the reason why I ask this question, because there will be people that will listen to this podcast back and they'll go, that's really, really good, but what about our own? What about the people in the UK? Yeah. What about people that are living on the streets and so on and so forth? And that's something you've come up with, and we
lots
do as we all do, you know, yeah. Those of us that are classed as wishy-washy liberals that are do-gooders, yeah, but don't help our own. What do you have to say to any of those people about something like this, what you're doing?
I think it's a fair point. I think there are people who are struggling here. And I think what we do is we always try, we divert anything that comes to us that is not useful for us. We divert to Corner House in Manchester to help homeless people wherever we can. We do all our stuff, all our carrier bags. This is really random. People bring stuff to us in carrier bags. All our carrier bags go to our food bank. Because since people had to pay 5p for a carrier bag, they've got no carrier bags to put the food in. Also, any food that comes to us that's not suitable, we go to the food bank. We've been known to trade tins of meat for chickpeas with the food bank, because people in the high peak are not that fond of chickpeas, but they do get donated. So
I love chickpeas.
It's about making... I mean, I would also question, and we are not political and we never would be, but I would question who is our own. We're all the human race. It's all our own. We are people. And we need to live on one planet together.
And
so.
And they're fine words. But what makes it important to come to just a football club? And that's, at the end of the day, what you hear, it's a football club here. But what makes it A, special for you to come here, and B, what makes it special, that the reason you are here?
I think we were blown away last time we came here. We just didn't expect a football club to be like this. So inclusive, so different to what we expected. And we came in July, and it's ripples in a pond. We come and we talk to 100 people. If 50 of them go home and talk to 5 more, it's spreading the word. As a result, the last time we were here, we've been approached by graphics people who did our posters for us. We've had donations coming from all sorts. You never quite know who's listening to you. And I just think, I feel so passionately that we all need to recognise that these are human beings and that we're not powerless. That's the biggest message. You're not powerless. We can all do something that will actually make a difference. And even if it's only a little bit of difference, lots of people doing a little bit of difference makes for a big difference. So we thank you so much for coming here. We love it.
It's our pleasure.
We'll come back
you.
Again.
Hummingbirdproject.co.uk.
Yeah, thank you.
A big thank you, Pam, for coming on.
Massively.
And keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for your time.
Ben and Swampy there speaking with Pam from the Hummingbird Project. And for more information, please visit www.hummingbirdproject.co.uk. To the headline act now from Saturday's Corsic and Malcolm, as the main stand bar hosted Cabbage, a band hailing from Mossley, who are making quite the impression with their live performances and their new critically acclaimed album Young, Dumb and Full Of. Before kick-off though, the band finally made it as they spoke with our very own Swampy.
We're now joined by a band that, well, are hotly tipped by one of the finest newspapers in the land to be a band of 2017, but that's been talked about and discussed. And when I say the finest new papers, I'm talking about the Morning Star. It's the boys from Cabbage. How are you?
Hello. Very well.
Now, first and foremost, the name Cabbage.
Where does it come from?
Yeah, a family of allotment owners, growers.
It stems from not being wanting to call something generic like every other band that's out there at the moment.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool band names out there, isn't there? We just thought we'd try and come up with the uncoolest band name possible. Well, and we arrived at Cabbage.
Do you have a preference for Cabbage? Purple Cabbage?
Red cabbage is the best.
Red cabbage.
We were actually thinking of...
Wet Cabbage.
Wet Cabbage.
We were thinking of making our own Red Cabbage and getting it on the merch stand.
I tell you what, I'll be up
prospect,
for that.
Right, isn't it?
But you do know, you've already, the name Cabbage, in sort of like parts of South Manchester, they've gone all posh. You're no longer called Cabbage around
Cabbage.
There, you're called Cabbage.
Cabbage.
Oh. You guys are from Mosley, aren't you?
We are indeed.
SC United kept nicking Mosley players. Very angry about that.
Go on then, name them.
Josh Howard, Leon Mike.
Leon Mike, the man who had, he'd ate three players and
yeah,
brought
I know
him in, that's why.
How did Leon Mike do? Did he score out?
Yeah, he was a beast of a man.
He was a man.
Proper beast of a man. Give us a famous fact about Mosley, lads. Apart from you, obviously, you're from there.
Mel Sykes. Mel Sykes. The queen of Mosley.
Apparently the first chippy ever was
good
at Mosley.
Man.
No,
I think it's a myth, to be honest.
No, absolutely false. Absolutely false. Every single town and every single village in this country claims to be the bastions of the first chippy in England.
Well, I think Mosley may well be up there. And from a musical perspective, you've got, obviously, you can tell within your music, major influence from all over the place. I mean, how do you collate sort of like all your musical taste to bring what is ultimately a new sound with a little bit of old flavour in there from sort of like 60s and 70s all the way through?
I think two guitars, one bass, one drums, it's an old format that's been used for years, so you're never going to create something new with that. The music's not so much the important bit to us, but I think the lyrics and the energy and the attitude that we want to put across is the original part of the band. When you've got that to work with to create sounds, it's only going to be something that's sort of rehashed over the last 50 years of rock and roll.
Of course, yeah.
So, I mean, like we said, the music's just the channeling that we can take our energy further.
You've got a reputation, things you know, very, very different, sort of like every gig that you do, and there's improvisation sort of like on stage as well when you're playing. Well, I mean, where's that energy come from? Is it just you as people, or are you similar off stage as you are on stage, or are you totally different people?
Quite similar.
Yeah.
On and off. A lot of pent-up frustration sometimes. And then, obviously, I think the best way to deliver a message of pent-up frustration is turn it into some dark humour.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, especially not the northern charm. Anyone who's ever tried achieving anything from the north always puts, like, a bit of a delicate side of humour into it. So I suppose that's what the combination that we do. You've got the aggression from the frustration that's been pent up, and then the humour.
Because you're young lads as well, aren't you? So where does your politics come from? Because obviously in the lyrics there's a political message, be it, you know, left or further left, or just basically social politics, social sort of like life, what you should be as a person. Where does that come from? Is it from family? Have you grown up with that in your household?
It's just what we talk about when we're in the pub and when we're together, so that's what feels natural to come out in the music.
It comes from propaganda mostly, because there's so much propaganda in the media. I think that's like one thing that we should be looking to protect. We are getting a little bit more alternative media, but propaganda is where our politics comes from mostly.
Right.
Some of the atrocious things you see get printed and told.
Obviously, the music's massively important to you in the respect of your sort of like your social outlook and life. It creates the energy for the band. It creates everything you've got. you've got obviously a big tour coming ahead. I mean, you know, from humble beginnings, you guys, and now, you know, starting to show the pedigree. I mean, I know you've been playing lots of local gigs over a period of time. How does it feel now? I mean, you feel, is that the same as you did when you first started a number of years ago, or is it now getting to the sort of, for want of a better word, you played Maida Vale Studios, and I've said that I've seen that, it was absolutely outstanding. Is it, are you getting to the sort of like the serious business end of it in a political way still, or is it still going to be out there playing, enjoying it, and see what happens in the next years?
Business is taken care of by other people. We're not businessmen. We'll never be businessmen. Like I've always said, as business and the music can go hand in hand, as long as business doesn't get in the way of the music, there's not a problem, and that's not happened yet.
Right.
The only difference is, I think we're taking it to a more professional level now, because we're being put in a professional atmosphere.
Yeah.
So it's obviously.
And what was it like playing Maida Vale?
We're really ignorant. We don't know these. we don't know these things too much.
We live in a bubble, mostly, and that's the old.
Yeah, it could probably be perceived as like, not arrogant or anything, but everyone's like, what do you think of Maida Vale? And they're like, yeah, it's all right. Do you know who's played there? No, not really. I think the Lars played there once. That's about it. But then you find out in the history, like with the BBC Sound Off, that was a big accolade that were part of, and we didn't have a clue what it was when we got it.
But tell us about the tour then. How many dates are you doing?
16 gigs on our headline tour, I think.
Yeah. And then are you got any support slots with any sort of like, for want of a better word, more established bands?
Yeah, the Blossoms.
From
Stockport.
They are indeed from the Blossoms pub.
Yeah.
Peter Robinson's.
Actually started selling Charlemagne ale.
That's right, yeah, they have, yeah.
So we need to
get you a beer then as well, don't we? We've got your cabbage for the merch store. But listen, lads, you've got to go back in there. Great talking to you. Just to let you know, we've had on this show, this is FC Live Radio Show, so we're all the commentators. We're not, as you can tell, we're not professional interviewers of any note. However, we have had the last big band that we did an interview with was Slow Readers Club.
Yeah.
And they've done quite well. Before that, we did it with a band that went from here to the Letterman Show.
Oh, nice.
Went from here. What were they called? Remember that band? They were a bit strange, weren't they? What? Woo Cliff.
Woo Life.
Woo Life. Yeah, we had Woo Life.
Woo Cliff.
That's a
collaboration then with Wycliffe John and Woo Life.
I think they're like hipster band, aren't they?
They were interesting. But listen, lads, it's great talking to you. I'm looking forward to the
night. Nice,
enjoy yourself.
Much, thank you.
And where can we see you in Manchester?
Gorilla, but it's sold out, so you can't come in.
And Academy 2, but that's sold out as well.
It's all sold out. I'm sure we can blag some tickets from somewhere, somehow. You know, it'll be all right.
We're announcing another gig soon. Somewhere.
Looking forward to that.
Undisclosed location.
And that's it from me for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 and 7 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.